for that. And Joseph, am I on here? I know you got a lot going on. Sorry. There we go. Perfect. What a blessing. Thank you so much, Pierre and Kimberly and Natalie, Zachary and Ari. And what a blessing that was. We're so thankful. It's exciting to see the kids singing, amen? And what a blessing. I hope that that was a treat for you this evening, and we certainly appreciate them coming and helping out with some music tonight. Mr. Don, I hope you're watching and that you got to hear Amazing Grace, and I figure that you probably were wondering when we'd sing that song, and there you go, Amazing Grace we sang tonight for you, and trust it was a blessing to you and that you were able to join in with us there from home. Psalm 81 this evening, Psalm 81, and verse number 7, I'm going to take this verse right out of this psalm, and then we're going to go back to the historical account as it's recorded for us in the book of Exodus that is being referenced here in Psalm 81 in verse number 7. You understand, if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, that we've discussed the power of prayer and the ability of our God to help. And what a blessing it is to know that our God answers prayer. We preached that message last Sunday morning from Daniel 2, had the opportunity to look on Friday evening at that truth in 2 Chronicles 7, in verse number 14, and before God gave Solomon that promise, and we find that he mentioned, "I have heard thy prayer." We've looked at a number of passages of scriptures. We've dealt with the Bible studies each evening and looked at these passages of scripture with regard to the ability of our God to help. I'm thankful that there is nothing too hard for God. What a blessing to know that there's absolutely nothing that's too hard for our God. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, and I'm so thankful that nothing is impossible with Him. We know that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's a prayer promise that we find in Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. As we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we are once again reminded of the power of God and that there is absolutely no situation that is outside of His control. Sometimes we go through life and we go through this journey of life and we think that there are some things that have happened and we can't fully comprehend them, we can't understand them, and we feel like we've been led right into a hardship. Maybe we even feel like, man, we prayed about this and we sought the direction from the Lord with regard to this, and yet we find ourselves in this difficult position. Why? What happened? And God's in control. It's not outside of His control. It's not something that has surprised God. I know that a theologian of yesteryear said, "Did it ever occur to you that nothing's ever occurred to God?" And He is the Lord God Almighty. He's also omniscient. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Almighty God. He is eternal and immutable, and for that we rejoice. In Psalm 81, the verse of Scripture that we're going to look at this evening is verse number 7, and we find that this reference in this psalm refers to really the first trial that was endured by the children of Israel after they crossed the Red Sea. We'll look back at Exodus 15 in just a moment, but I want you to consider with me how the psalmist says this truth in verse number 7. Notice, "Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah." And we find that as we would look to this truth that is taking place here, and we would understand all that's happening, and we are mindful of these trials and these difficulties in which the children of Israel would face, we find that there were two occasions in which the Lord was giving His direction to His people. And we find that as God would help the people of Israel understand that He was leading them, that He was the one that was providing the direction for them. I spoke a moment ago and said it was the first trial they endured, and I apologize for that. It was not the first trial. It was shortly thereafter. We find that the first trial was similar to this trial that is referenced in Psalm 81. The first trial that they endured after they crossed over the Red Sea, we find that that's recorded in Exodus 14. In Exodus 15, we read of the song of Moses and how they're praising God and all that's taking place. And then after just 3 days, they come to this place where they found no water and the waters were bitter. That place was called Marah, and we read of that in Exodus chapter number 15. All throughout chapter number 16, we read about the truth with regard to the manna that God provided and how God blessed, and just the pattern in which they had to follow for collecting and all of that. And then we come to Exodus chapter number 17. And really, it's the reference from which we find there in Psalm 81 in verse number 7. If you're taking notes this evening, I'd like to simply entitle the message, "Thou Called and I Delivered." Thou called and I delivered. In that, just thinking about the first part of Psalm 81 in verse number 7 brings such comfort and peace to the heart of God's people. He said, "Thou callest in trouble and I delivered thee." He says, "I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah." Now, as we think about the passage of Scripture there in Exodus 15, that first problem that they endured, the first hardship that they endured with the water at Marah being bitter water, we find that God provided a solution to their problem, and God blessed them, and not only did He bless them after and gave them water there, but then the Bible tells us that He led them in the place in which He led them. According to Exodus 15 and verse number 26, in verse number 27, was a place called Elim where there were 12 wells of water. What a blessing to see how the Lord provided. But then we come to chapter 17 and notice the beginning of the text of Scripture. The Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." The Bible says, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go.' Verse 6, 'Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" It's interesting as we find ourselves studying these themes and these thoughts with regard to the ability of our God and the power of our God. We find that the Bible is filled with examples of God working miraculously and how God would prove His people and how He is, as we've mentioned often, and I've shared the verses with you via email, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." On Thursday evening, we studied Psalm 46, that God is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in the time of trouble. And what a joy to understand the power of our God. "Thou called and I delivered." I wonder what would happen if they did not call unto God, if we did not seek the face of God, if we did not understand the power of our God. See, when we understand who He is and we face a time of difficulty, "Thou callest in the time of trouble," I understand that I can go to God knowing that He is able to do something about the situation. We find that there's a problem that is recorded here in our passage of Scripture here in Exodus 17, and the problem is that there is no water. Now, consider with me that first reference that I mentioned in Exodus chapter number 15, where there was bitter water. There was a problem there at that passage of Scripture as well, at Marah, where they found water, but the water was not drinkable. It was bitter water. And we find that it caused a problem, but we see through that process that God healed those waters and God proved them. And really, the account that we find in Exodus 15 should have been a faith builder for the children of Israel. Why? They got to witness God work firsthand. Not only should that have increased their faith and been a faith builder in their lives, but all of the content of Exodus chapter number 16 with regard to the manna that God provided, oh, how that should have built the faith of the children of Israel. But you find that when they encounter the problem, as it's reported to us in Exodus 17, they immediately respond by chiding with Moses. They face this problem, and they do not immediately respond with prayer and with seeking the face of God and with saying one to another, "We've seen God work before. I wonder what God's going to do in this situation. I wonder how God would provide." No, they went back to their natural tendencies to simply murmur and complain. And really, if we look at the nation of Israel and we study the children of Israel, it is very easy for us to attack them and criticize them, but oh, how often we do the same things that they do. We face a problem, we face a difficulty, and we've seen God work over the years, and we've seen God provide, but we come to this challenge. In all of those events that were designed to increase our faith, to build our faith, we've kind of just forgotten about them because this problem is different. We find that God had led them. You notice the Bible says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel in verse number 1 journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of what? The Lord. And pitched in Rephidim. The very reason that they were in Rephidim is because God led them there. Let that sink in for just a moment. Sometimes it's not that we missed the will of the Lord. It's not that I should have prayed more about this. Sometimes God will lead us directly into a place of difficulty so that He can prove Himself, so that He can develop us, so that He can be glorified. And we find that God led them directly to Rephidim, and it was in that place where there was no water for the people to drink. There's a problem in Rephidim. I think about this problem, and I find that it's very interesting as we would look at the similarities between the problem in Exodus 15 and the problem as it's recorded here in Exodus 17. And there are plenty of similarities, but there is a distinct contrast. In Marah, there was water. It just was bitter and not drinkable. Here in Rephidim, there's no water. And so there's a problem with how we're going to quench our thirst, how we're going to survive. We need water. There is that problem, but we find that in chapter number 15, that the solution that is given is that God shows Moses a tree. And if you flip back there and you look in verse number 25, the Bible says, "The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet." You can disagree with me and we can talk later, and that would be fine. But I have a tendency to believe, as I study the behavior of the children of Israel, to see their murmuring and complaining, to see how they respond to difficulties, that had they come to Rephidim and there was bitter water, I don't really believe they would have sought the Lord. I believe what they would have done is they would have sought a tree. They would have tried to find a tree to cast into that water because that's what happened at Marah. And if that was the solution at Marah, then that could be the solution at Rephidim. And so what does God do? He takes them to a place where there's no water. Not to a place where there's bitter water, but to a place where there's no water. He's developing them. I don't necessarily desire to be in a place where there's no water. But it's interesting to see as we study the history and we see what's going on and we see there's a real problem. The problem is followed by a prayer. Yes, we see the contention, the chiding with the people, with Moses, and that which takes place in verses 2 and 3. And we find the way in which they respond to their hardship. And they say at the end of verse number 3, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" But notice the prayer in verse number 4, "And Moses cried unto the Lord." It's interesting to look at the response of the people and contrast it with the response of Moses. The response of the people, chiding with Moses, murmuring and complaining. The response of the people, "We're all going to die." The response of Moses, he calls out to the Lord. He cries unto the Lord. You know, in my own life, I find that oftentimes when we face hardships and difficulties, it's easy to respond like the children of Israel, to murmur, to complain, to look at it perhaps from a pessimistic point of view and say it's all just going to be terrible. It's possible for us to respond that way. In fact, there's oftentimes in our lives, if we'd be honest, that we respond more like the children of Israel than we do like Moses. But Moses' response to the problem and to the chiding and to that which is taking place is that he cries unto the Lord. He sought the face of God. See, Moses was the one that you'll remember at the beginning of his call, if you would go back to the beginning of Exodus and consider where Moses is found and how God appeared to him. Remember that burning bush and all that God showed him and how God proved to him. And then he was the one that saw God work mightily through the plagues. He was the one that stood there at the brink of the Red Sea and lifted up that rod, and God parted the sea. He had witnessed God work in amazing ways. He'd experienced the power of God. I mean, so did the other people, but Moses understood the power of God, and he cries out unto the Lord. Oh, that our immediate response would be one of seeking the face of God. In our current situation, pandemic and the globe, all that's going on, and all of the restrictions and regulations that have been in place, it's easy for us to murmur and complain. It's easy for us to just act like the children of Israel. But oh, that we'd seek the face of God and respond like Moses did. See, the title of the message this evening that we adopted there from Psalm 81 and verse number 7, "Thou called and I delivered." I'm thankful that Moses cried out to the Lord. The Bible tells us that he says, "What shall I do unto this people?" You see that he is at a place in which he has no solution. He doesn't know what to do. He's seeking the face of God. He says, "God, I need answers. I need to know what to do." He says this, "They be almost ready to stone me." Now, often the children of Israel respond to the leader, to Moses, by chiding with him, murmuring, complaining, and ready to kill him. And I've often asked the question, what is that going to solve? I mean, if they stone Moses here in Exodus 17 and verse number 4, they still are in a place where there's no water. It does not change their circumstance. In fact, it just makes matters worse. Because he was the one that was beseeching the Lord. He was the one that was seeking God on their behalf for a solution. And we find here that Moses cries out to the Lord, "Thou callest in the time of trouble, and I delivered." And what a joy to know that our God hears and answers prayer. And we find here that the Lord said unto Moses, notice that in verse number 4, "And Moses cried unto the Lord." In verse number 5, "And the Lord said unto Moses." Moses goes to God in prayer. We find that he prays specifically about the situation. And as he prays specifically about the situation, he receives a specific response. We find that there's a problem. We find there's a prayer. We find the provision. Notice in verse number 5, "The Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go." Now you just pause at the instruction of verse number 5 and you find that Moses has received this instruction that he's going to go before the people. He's going to take with him the elders of Israel and his rod. That rod that he had in his hand. Remember at the very beginning of the call of Moses, what is that in thine hand? Right? He had a rod. And remember God told him to throw it on the ground, and what happened? The thing became a serpent. And then he said to pick it up and it returned to a rod. We find that that rod, you find as you go through the passage of Scripture throughout the book of Exodus, you see how that he has that rod with him, and he tells him to go and to go before the people. And then he tells him in verse number 6 this, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." So he's going to tell him a specific place to go to. We find that there's going to be provision. See, the Bible says, "Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." Now, he then says, "And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." Moses obeyed God. Isn't that great faith? I've never smitten a rock and water came out of it. It was not a common thing for us to do, right? And we find that here, God gives this specific answer. He's answering the prayer of His servant, and He's providing the provision for His people. We find, we understand this evening that God made us. He created us. He knows our form. He knows what we're made of. He knows that water is a basic necessity of survival. God knows that. And God is able to provide in a miraculous way, in a supernatural way. We find here that the Bible tells us that Moses is given the instruction that as he goes before the people and he takes these elders of Israel with him, with his rod, that God would show him the place to go and that he should smite the rock and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. Now it's interesting to me that the Bible says that Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Moses just had great faith in God. He just believed God. I mean, he didn't go and tell people, "Well, I'm going to go over here secretly and see if this thing works." No, he went right like God told him to go. And the people were there, and he took those elders, and the Bible says that he did what God told him to do. He smote that rock, and the Bible tells us that they were the people that were there, that they were able to drink. God provided His provision. See, God is able to provide in unique ways. God is able to care for us as His children. We dealt with, as we've studied in recent days, the passage of Scripture in that familiar Psalm, Psalm 23, and we dealt with the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. And as we spoke of that passage of Scripture, we dealt with the truth that as the shepherd provides for the sheep and protects in His presence, and we spoke about God's provision for us as His people. And I'm thankful this evening that Moses obeyed the Lord. You know, there's a principle that's contained there. Maybe as we look at this passage of Scripture and we see the way in which Moses responded in obedience, that is what resulted in the blessing. That's a principle of God's Word. We find that it's established throughout the whole of Scripture that as we, as God's people, obey God's instruction, that God provides and He blesses as only He can. See, there was nothing within Moses to cause this water to flow out of the rock. There was no ability within Moses to care for the children of Israel in his own power, in his own might. There was nothing within Moses. Remember, he's at the end of himself. He says in verse number 4, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." Can I tell you this evening that we need to learn some valuable lessons from Exodus chapter number 17? Some of the valuable lessons that we learn from this passage of Scripture is, I believe, as we look here at these few verses, that we first need to remember the blessings of God and how those blessings will build our faith for the trials that we will face. See, there's some things in your life, there's some things in my life where I've seen God work and I've seen God do and bless and provide, and those things are faith builders. And as we remember those things, and perhaps even as we would look at certain portions of Scripture and deal with the memorials that God deals with, and how even Joshua there in the land, after they crossed the Jordan, they were to set up those memorials, and how those things help us to remember what God has done. See, I can't help but think about the children of Israel in Exodus 15, and then they come to Exodus 17, and they had so soon forgotten. And lest we think that we should just criticize the children of Israel and say, it wouldn't happen to me, I want to remind you of the disciples in the New Testament. And remind you about the time in which there was the feeding of the 5,000. We're familiar with the passage of Scripture, and we're familiar with the way in which God blessed and multiplied, and there was just a little lunch. Remember, the disciples had the idea, hey, the day is far spent, send them away. I mean, we have nothing for them. And Jesus says, give them something to eat. And they kind of look at each other like, we don't have the resources. We don't have the ability to do this. What did God do? He blessed and multiplied. And we find that it was Andrew that said, 200 pennyworth is not sufficient, that everyone might have a little. But the Bible tells us that they all ate. 5,000 men, besides women and children, they were set in companies, and God provided for them. The disciples would go to the Lord Jesus Christ and take and distribute that bread and that fish. And the Bible says they were all filled, and they took up 12 basketfuls. Then there's the feeding of the 4,000, another miracle of God. In the New Testament, we read about the feeding of the 5,000. We also read about the feeding of the 4,000. It was shortly after these miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ gives a warning to the disciples about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's hypocrisy. That's what the leaven of the Pharisees is. But you find that what do they begin to do? Right after Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, we forgot to bring bread. Right? That's how they respond. And what does Jesus say? Did you forget? Did you forget about the 5,000 and how I fed? Did you forget about the 4,000 and how I fed? And see, in our lives, we often, as human beings, are faced with difficulties and circumstances, and in the moment, they're so big and they're so problematic that sometimes it absolutely consumes us to the point that we forget what God has done. Not that we forget it in the sense that if someone reminds us that we say, I never heard that before, but in the sense that we're so consumed with this, what is right in front of me, that I fail to take into consideration in that moment what my God has done and how He has provided and how He has blessed. And oh, that there was just someone that would say, listen, God has worked. He's provided the manna that we ate today. He provided water back at Marah. He took us to Elim where there were 12 springs of water. I mean, He's able. Let's seek the face of God. No, murmur, complain. We're all going to die. We need to be mindful of remembering what God has done. We need to be mindful to go to God in prayer. Oh, that we would immediately go to God. Thou called, and I delivered. I wonder how often we don't receive the help that God would love to offer us simply because we don't ask. I think about it in our own lives. I mean, physically speaking, you go throughout mundane tasks and you try to do things. Occasionally, we've kind of joked in the house. I mean, when I married Holly, I realized, man, she's so tall for a lady and her height, and now she's like the shortest in our family, and it's kind of comical in our home. But there are times in which Holly will be reaching for something high in the cabinet, and it's like, hey, if you just ask one of these kids that are taller than you, they can reach higher. And sometimes you'll struggle to reach something, you'll struggle to get that thing, and all you had to do was ask for help. I know I've shared with you when I went to BIMI a couple of years ago and I was standing in the ticket line in order to process my bags so that I could take my flight down to the conference that I was attending. And as we were going through those areas and dealing with those machines, this lady came and she offered help to the gentleman that was to my left, and he said, I'm good, I don't need it. And then she offered help to me, and I'm like, listen, I've not used this machine before. If you want to help me, you work here, man, that works for me. And bam, 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 she hit a few things, and we were on our way, and that guy is like, this thing's not working. He's like, can you help me? It was comical. She says, I offered and you said you were okay. And then she went over and helped him. But the reality is that there are times in our lives, physically speaking, I mean, on this terrestrial earth, that we just miss out on somebody's help because we don't ask. But I think about it from a spiritual perspective. Our God is a very present help in the time of trouble. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. We find that the psalmist called unto God and he delivered. We find here, as the psalmist would mention about this historical account, Moses prayed to God and God answered and God delivered. And how often in our own lives do we face troubles? Do we face times of difficulty where God is seeking to develop us, where God is seeking to be glorified, and we just continue to struggle with this thing because we're wrestling with it in our own flesh, in our own power, and we're trying to scheme and devise and figure out and analyze instead of just going to God in prayer? See, the people, they complained and murmured, they chided with Moses, but Moses prayed. He cried out unto the Lord. I believe that we need to recognize that our God is able to do anything. Anything. There's no water. God knows they need water. God knew they needed water before they ever complained about no water. In fact, God knew when He led them to Rephidim that there was no water there. God knew that. It didn't surprise God. God knew. But God led them there anyway. Why? Because God was going to prove them. God was going to seek to build their faith. God would be glorified. And I believe for us this evening, the passage of Scripture is preserved for us, not just so that we could have a record of history that the children of Israel were in Rephidim, but so that we could see how God provided and what God is able to do. And so this evening, the psalmist said, as he recollected from this portion of Scripture, that God says, Thou callest in a time of trouble, and I delivered. Oh, that we just call unto the Lord, seek His face in prayer, and see what He is able to do. Father, we love You this evening. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the privilege of being able to serve You. We thank You that You've given us the record of Thy Word, history that is contained therein, that is used to encourage us and strengthen us. And Lord, I pray this evening that You would help us to be strengthened and encouraged by this passage of Scripture, that God, we would understand, Thou called and I delivered. Oh, that we would not murmur and complain as the children of Israel did. God, that we'd seek Your face and see what You're able to do. We know that You are the Lord God Almighty and that there is nothing too hard for Thee. We know that You can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, I pray that You would prove Yourself, that You would help us, Lord, to exercise faith, and that You alone would be glorified. Have Your will and way in our lives. Help us to spend time this evening, those that are watching via live stream, to reflect and consider, to seek the face of God. Those of us that are gathered here, Lord, that we'd allow You to have Your will and way in our lives. We'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We will have